Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
I'm looking forward to what I believe God wants to speak to us today. I'm going to talk to you today about the context for your promise. Everything we move into in life has a context where that thing makes sense and has a context where that thing becomes possible. There's a context where your family makes sense, and there's a context where your family doesn't make any sense at all. You ever have those family jokes and you're like, well, in context, this is super funny, but out of context, it sounds super weird. You have things that make sense in one space that don't make sense in another space, and there are contexts in your life that make certain things possible that are only possible inside of that context. And there is a context for your promise to be revealed and made real and present in your life, and there is a context where that thing will not come all the way to pass. If you have a Bible with you, I would love for you to turn to the book of Numbers with me. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. This is one of the books that Moses wrote for us to recount the story of the people of God coming out of the land of Egypt and into the place of their promise. Numbers happens between the place where they leave Egypt and they move into their promise. I think a lot of our life exists in the in-between place of coming out of our place of bondage and into our place of promise. I believe that's why so much of the Old Testament is devoted to this in-between place. And you can flip all the way to the end portion of the book. We're going to start in Numbers chapter 32, and it reads like this. It says, now the people of Reuben and the people of Gad, there are 12 tribes that make up the children of Israel at the time. Reuben and Gad are two of those 12 tribes. The people of Reuben and the people of Gad had a very great number of livestock. And they stalled the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead. And behold, the place was a place for livestock. So the people of Gad and the people of Reuben came to Moses and to Eleazar the priest and the chief priests of the congregation. There's all of their names. Jump to verse 4 for me. And the land, their names are important, but we don't need time for it right now. The land that the Lord struck down before the congregation of Israel is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. And they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants for a possession, and do not take us across the Jordan. What's across the Jordan is the place that has been promised to their people for generation on generation. It's a place that has become so meaningful to their people that all the way back when Joseph died, if you look at the very end of the book of Genesis, when Joseph is coming to the end of his days and they are still in Egypt, Joseph says to his brothers, when I die and when they bury me, make sure that when God comes back and he brings us out of this place and leads us to the place of our promise, don't leave me here. Get my bones and take my bones with you all the way to the promise. There is a promise that has been spoken to their people for generation on generation, and they are now on the one side of the Jordan getting ready to step into the place of the promise. And the tribes of Reuben and Gad come to Moses and say, actually, this land looks good enough to us. Can we just stay here instead of crossing over the Jordan into the place of our promise? And this is what Moses answers them in Numbers 32, 33. If you jump a little farther in the chapter, it says, and Moses gave to them, to the people of Gad and the people of Reuben, and the half tribe of Manasseh has jumped on board now as well, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, the king of Bashan, and the land and its cities that were there, and the territories and the city and the lands throughout the country. Moses says to them, fine. If you want to stay here, you can stay here. He has some words with them beforehand. He tries to convince them otherwise, but ultimately he tells them, if this is what you want, you can choose to stay here. Will you say out loud with me, you can quit if you want to. You can quit if you want to. The choice is ultimately yours. The choice is ultimately yours to make of if you will go all the way to the place of the promise or if you choose to quit. You have the choice. And these two tribes come to Moses and they say, we would rather stay here than go all of the way into the place of the, this is far enough for us. And Moses says to them, you can quit now if you want to. And I think there is an incredible amount of power in understanding about our own lives and our own promises and the journeys that God has each one of us walking on, that if you want to, you can quit. No one's forcing you to walk this walk of faith. No one's forcing you into the places you are going. No one's forcing you into the decisions that have been made. You are not saddled up here and locked in here and strapped in here. You have a choice. Several years ago, I was walking, Phil and I were walking with some dear friends of ours through a really difficult patch in their marriage. It was filled with an incredible amount of pain, and they were doing the tough work of rebuilding and resecuring the foundation of their marriage and moving forward better. And I was talking to the wife one day and just encouraging her and saying, you know, I'm so impressed by the way you've leaned into this and I'm so proud of you for the work that you're doing. I know it hasn't been easy. And she said to me, you know what's funny is I realized a few months ago, I can leave if I want to. And I know that sounds counterintuitive to many of you because we value the sanctity of marriage and our people often who want to hold on to it. But she said, I realized that if I want to, I could choose to leave. And when I realized that if I want to, I can choose to leave, that I don't have to stay, I also realized that means that I'm choosing to stay. And if I'm choosing to stay, it changes the way that I look about what I'm doing. And it changes the way I behave about what I'm doing. I'm not stuck here, and I'm not trapped here, and no one tricked me into getting here. I chose to be here. And if I chose to be here, I might as well lean all the way into this thing. Can I challenge you for a second that we live too much of our life like it just happened to us, and it just bounced up on us, and I don't know how I got here, and I'm not allowed to leave this place, or I'm not allowed to make this transition, or I don't know how this relationship came to be, and we take on a victimized mindset that boxes us in as if we have no part to play. You can choose to quit if you want to, which means you should look at where you are and realize I'm choosing to be here. You chose that job. You chose that spouse. You chose that place that you live. You chose where you get to be. You chose your mindset. I'm not saying you chose everything that happened to you. And I'm not saying you chose every situation that you're walking through. I'm not saying everything that's happened to you has been justified or good or beneficial. I'm saying the way that you engage with that thing, you get to choose that. And that means you get to choose how you engage with it. One of my least favorite things is when people come to me. Toledo's like a mid-sized city, right? So we're always going through this identity crisis of like, we're not some big city somewhere. And so then people always want to come to me and talk about like, man, I can't stand Toledo. It's so lame here. And I promise you, if you come and tell me that, the next words you're going to hear out of my mouth are, then move. Because I love this city. I'm grateful that God placed us here, and I'm celebrating being here for as long as God lets us be here. I love this city, and if you don't want to be here, you should move. We don't live in some dystopian society where they assigned you to your block and you get electrocuted if you go outside the zone. You can move if you want to, and I promise you it's not as complicated as some of you make it out to be. It could take you 2 to 6 months to put together a plan for you to move to a bigger city and be as miserable there as you are here, because you will find out it's not the city, it's the way that you choose to engage with the place that you live. And I love this city, and I won't let you talk bad about it, because I chose it. I chose to say yes, and I chose to be here. And when you realize that you can choose where you are, and you get to quit if you want to. And so the context of this scripture is that these tribes now find themselves on the edge of the place of their promise. They have walked out of the place of Egypt. They have walked through seasons of the wilderness and of the desert, and they find themselves in green grass and in fertile soils that indicate to them that they are getting closer to the place of their promise. And they come and they say, you know what? This seems good enough to us, Moses. Can we just stay here? And they ask if they can stay in the place that seems good enough to them on the edge of their promise. And Moses says to them, you can stay here if you want to. Several years ago, I was on a flight. I was leading a group of people, and we were on a flight, and then we were off a flight, and then we were back on a flight, and then we were back off a flight. And it was one of those nights where they kept delaying our flight and then changing our gate and then putting us on a plane and then taking us off of a plane and then telling us a part was on its way for the plane and then it's going to be another hour, but we're going to get you off. And then they put us all back on the plane because everything has been fixed and everything is good and everything is secure. And here we all come onto our plane and we're sitting in our seats and everyone is so relieved because we are finally going home after hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of delay. And now we're sitting on the plane and we're waiting. And then we're waiting slightly longer than seems normal to be waiting on the plane. And then we're waiting definitely longer than you should be waiting on the plane. And all of a sudden, over the overhead speaker of this plane, filled with people who have been waiting hours on hours on hours, comes the voice.
Excuse me, everyone. This plane is not going anywhere tonight. We were not able to fix what we told you you fixed, and I'm going to need everyone to deboard the plane with all of your belongings. We're not going home tonight.
You could palpably feel the anger moving through the plane. I told our group, everyone stay seated right where you are and let all of these people leave, because there is a hostile group of people getting ready to deboard this plane, and we will not be stuck in the wave of it. And as I predicted, when we finally deboarded the plane, it was like a scene from a movie. There were children screaming. There were adults fighting. There were airline attendants raising their voices and rolling their eyes in utter the hostility that was in the room was absolutely palpable. If I had had a knife that got through the TSA pre-check, I promise you, I could have cut through the hostility in the air with a knife. It was thick and it was heavy. There are environments that are hostile to your promise. There are environments that are hostile to you reaching the place that God has for you and the promise and the plans that he has for you. They are working against the thing that God put on the inside of you. They are screaming lies in the background of your life, and they are causing you to get in disagreements and in fights with people you would otherwise be at peace with and be calm with. There is an environment that is hostile to the way that you are coming up in life and the place that God is trying to walk you into. There are things that are actively working against you reaching the promise that God has for your life. They belittle his promise and they push up against it and they push you back. And they try to contain you and make you smaller. There are places in your life that are containing you. And for some of you today, it's a day to come out of and to shake free of the hostile environment that has been holding you, that has been containing you, that has been pulling you back every time you step forward into his promise. It's a day for you to shake loose of that thing and say, I've decided to move towards his promises. But here's the thing about a hostile environment. It's not that difficult to detect a hostile environment to your promise. Most of us can recognize when we are in an environment that is filled with anger. Most of us can recognize when we are in an environment that is filled with hostility, that is drawing us back, that is true. You get that pit in your stomach. You get that heat on the back of your neck. Your jaw starts clenching. You know this is not where I'm supposed to be and not where I'm meant to be and not where I want to be. And I don't like the way that any of this around me is going. And everything on the inside of you just keeps screaming, I've got to get out. Nobody, when they were in Egypt, said, hey, Moses, I was thinking I'd actually just like to stay here. The children of Egypt were held in Egyptian captivity for century on century. Moses came in as the voice piece of God saying, I have a place to deliver you to take you out of. And there is no record of them at any time saying, actually, this place looks good to us. Not while they were there. They had terrible memory once they got into the wilderness and kept talking about going back. But while they were there, they were able to recognize this environment is hostile towards us reaching the promise and the plan and the purpose that God has over our life. This environment is holding. And I hope that if you are standing in a season of a hostile environment, that you are able to recognize the way that that environment is containing you and say, God, I am looking to you to bring me out of this hostile environment. But then they went walking in the wilderness. And they walked in the wilderness for a while. And then they walked into a good environment. They walked into a context where the grass was green and the soil was fertile and the place seemed lovely. And the place seemed comfortable, and it was better than what they had had in the desert. And they said to themselves, this place seems good. A hostile environment will attack the promise that's in your life. But I think the greatest danger to you making it to the promise that God has for your life is a good environment. A good environment will woo you into thinking that I'd just rather stay here. A good environment feels comfortable when I'm in it. A good environment looks a lot like the promise, even though it's not all the way there yet. A good environment exists just outside the place that God has promised me and just outside the thing that God, in fact, it looks a lot like what you've described as the promised land, God. It's a place where my cattle can graze, and it's a place where I can build homes for my children, and it's a place where it will look like I'm in fruitfulness, and it's a place place where I can look like I can flourish, and it looks like I can be here, and it looks like, you know what, this seems good enough to me. I'm telling you that the most dangerous thing to you obtaining the promise that God has spoken over your life is not the hostile environment, because you recognize the hostile environment and you know how to combat the hostile environment. It's the almost promised good environment. They looked at the land just outside on the other side of the Jordan and they said, this looks good enough to us. And the issue with that is that they look at this land and it tells me that they valued what was immediate and expedient over the promise. This is here now. And I know I have access to this now. And I know I can stay here now. And I'm not sure that the promise is a guaranteed thing, but I know that I have this. And I'd rather take what's expedient and I'd rather take what's immediate than wait for the full thing of the promise and risk never seeing it, which tells me that they trusted in the work of their own hand more than that they trusted in God to see them all the way to the promise. And how often do I trust in what I can build and what I can do and what I can make happen right now over God's promises? It also tells me that they misunderstood their connectivity to the greater group of people that they were part of, to the body that God had placed them on the inside of. They thought it wasn't a big deal for them to just stay here and everyone else to go forward. If you read the verses between the two sections that we read in Numbers 32 on your own time when you go home, you will see that Moses's main argument against them has to do with the way that it affects the rest of the group of the people. He says, what will the hearts of your brothers do if you stay here? What will the courage of the rest of the body do if you decide to quit here? What will the strength in battle of the rest of the people look like if you're not with us? He actually tells them, you can stay here if you promise to fight with us, because you have a role to play in the body. We have become so individualized in the way that we think and consider our promise that we've disconnected it from the greater body and the greater people that God has placed us in and made us part of. You can quit if you want to, but it has impact on the people that you're supposed to go up with. It has impact on those who are supposed to look at your story and see his faithful hand working in your life. It has impact on those who are coming behind you, another generation who's supposed to step into the place of promise that you walked into. You can quit if you want to, but it's not just about you. It's about your role in the greater body. But they decide to settle for an almost promise that they could work out of their own hand. Reminds me of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. Because Abraham had a promise that God had given him about a son that would come from he and Sarah. But the promise didn't seem to be coming fast enough. And the promise didn't come in the way that he thought it would. And so Abraham settled for an almost promise. And he and Sarah come up with a plan where Hagar and Abraham will get together and produce a son. And that son will now, in their eyes, become the one to inherit Abraham's promise. And when God comes back to Abraham again to say, as I told you before, there is a son that I'm bringing before you, he finds Abraham living in his good enough place. He's created what almost looks like a promise. Looking from the outside, it would seem that he has the promise. He has a son that will inherit his portion. He has a family that he's building on his own. He's created great wealth. From the outside, it seems good enough. What have you built that seems good enough? But it's not yet the promise that God has spoken over your life. you've moved in together and you have some kids together and we're living in a way that it looks like a family from anybody who looks from the outside, and we've got things working pretty well and our systems are happening and we have a pretty happy life together and we've known how to make this thing work. It's almost a promise. But we haven't all the way crossed over the Jordan and made the commitment of marriage and made the commitment to be a family sanctified by the hand of God and step all the way into the promise that He planned and that He intended for me. It's an almost promise. Where do you have almost promises in your life? Where do you have good enough places in your life where you've settled for green grass on the outside of the promised land? You can settle for an almost promise if you want. See, the almost promise looks like the real thing. But the promise of God is that divine thing that He has spoken over your life, that divine thing that He has spoken over your family. The promise of God is filled with His faithfulness. The promise of God is filled with His fruitfulness. The promise of God is filled with His victory. The promise of God is filled with His inheritance. The promise of God is filled with His divine rest. The promise of God is filled with generation on generation. You can quit if you want to, or you can choose to go all the way to the promise. You can choose to say, I'm not settling for anything that looks like good enough, and I'm not settling for anything that looks like it's almost there, but I have decided that if God promised me a place, and if God promised me something, that I'm pressing on all the way until I come into the fullness of the promise that He has spoken over your life. For generation on generation on generation, God had spoke over these people that there is a place that I have promised for you. There are promises in your life that have been spoken generation on generation on generation on generation over your family that are just waiting. You are on the edge of coming into the reality of the promise that your grandparents and your great-grandparents and your great-great-grandparents only heard of and only waited for and said, will you remember me when you step into the place of that promise? And you can quit if you want to, but as for me, I've chosen to go all the way to the place of promise. I've chosen that I won't settle for anything less than the fullness of what God has for me. I've decided that I'm gonna push on through. I've decided that I'm gonna press on through, because yes, good enough is on this side of the Jordan, but on the other side of the Jordan, there's promise. On the other side of the waters, there's promise. On the other side of the battle, there's promise. On the other side of the victory, there's promise. On the other side, there's everything that God has spoken over my life. On the other side, there's every divine word that He's declared over you. On the other side is everything that He's called to you. On the other side is the baby you've been longing for. On the other side is the business you've been trying to birth. On the other side is the home that you've been destined to live in. On the other side is the fulfillment of your family. On the other side is new songs coming through you. On the other side is a book that you're intended to write. On the other side is every, don't settle. You're good enough. You can quit if you want to, but I've decided that I want to go all the way into His place of promise. I want to see everything that He has for me. I want to go all the way. All the way. You have to be careful about quitting. Quitting becomes a habit real easy. It feels bad the first time, and it's a little bit easier the next time, and before you know it, the idea of quitting and settling for good enough. I run half marathons sometimes. I know, hey. I'm actually not as cool as Phil. He runs full marathons. And I don't have a lot of advice for you if you decide you want to run a half marathon, except for this. The way I know to finish a half marathon is you just don't quit. You just don't stop. You determine in your mind that I am not quitting this thing until I get all the way to the promise. And so no matter how I have to keep moving, I have determined that it's going to be one step and then another step, but I'm going to continue moving towards the place of promise. And I can tell you that there are two places where it's easy to quit. At the beginning. At the beginning, there's this place where you get about a half mile to a mile in and your body and your brain start telling you, we should just kind of sit down now. There's a lot of effort. This is more, and there's something that people who know about how your body and your system works could tell you. It's like a threshold that you hit, and if you kick past that threshold, it's smooth sailing after that. So let me just tell you, if you feel like you just started this journey, you feel like you just said yes to Jesus, you feel like you just stepped out into something new and you're going, whoa, this is a little bit harder than I thought this was going to be. This pressure is a little bit, just keep going. Because I promise you, you're getting ready to kick in to that other level, and it's going to be smooth sailing until you get just before the end. And when you get just before the end, you start hearing the other thing of that. Like, you know, I've done a lot. I've already run a lot of miles today. 11 miles is pretty good. You know, if I quit right now, that's still more than most people run. And I feel like I can still, that's okay if I just stop right now. And you have to push further. I'm not settling for good enough. I'm not settling for almost there. I'm not settling for close to. I'm going to push this thing all the way to the end. The writer of Hebrews was writing to the people of God who were beginning to feel weary in their faith, beginning to feel disconnected from their purpose and their promise and their understanding of what it was to be people who followed after God. And this is what they said when they were writing to them in chapter 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus didn't come to the almost place of his promise and give up on it and said, you know what, I've lived a pretty good life. You know what, I've healed a lot of people. You know what, I've taught some good things. And that he went all the way to the place of the promise. He endured all the way to the end. The context for your promise is faithful endurance. It's faithful endurance to endure all the way until you see the promise, because that promised place comes through the cross and the Old Testament scripture into the New Testament. And now the promised place is a promised person. Our promise is in Jesus. And you will endure all the way to the fullness of the promise of God in your life. He is now our full inheritance. He is now our fruitful vine. He is now our place of rest. He is now our promise from generation to generation. He is now our place to flourish. He is now our safe haven. You don't have to wander around anymore, but press on to the fullness of who he is. When they wanted to encourage the Hebrews, they said, get your eyes fixed on the promise. And the promise is Jesus. And when you get your eyes fixed on the promise, it helps you frame the context to achieve your promise, which is faithful endurance. That's my prayer for you, that you will have faithful endurance that takes you all the way to the fullness of your promise. You can quit if you want to, but my prayer for you is that you won't settle for good enough, that you won't waver in the end, that you won't get distracted along the path, but that you will have a resilient faith that carries you all the way to the end of your days and sees every promise that God has ever spoken over your life. Right now, I want to pray for people who are saying, I don't want to quit. I feel my faith wavering. I feel myself wanting to settle for good enough. I feel that I'm in an environment that's hostile to my faith. If that's you, just lift one hand, two hands, just raise them up right now, because we're going to speak over you that you have a resilient faith. Come on, raise them with confidence. I see you raising them halfway. Raise them with confidence that says, I believe that he who is faithful to complete every good work will be faithful to complete it in me. All across this room, Father God, I speak. Your faithful endurance is flowing into these people. I thank you that you empower us with a spirit from on high. I declare over your life that you can quit if you want to, but you're gonna choose to finish. You're gonna choose to lean all the way into this thing. You're gonna choose to walk it all the way across the finish line, that your eyes are fixed on Jesus, that your heart and your mind is fixed on Jesus, that you see him and all that you can and all that he is and all that he has for you. I declare over your life that every promise that he has for you, that you will not falter, that you will not stumble, that you will not fall, that you will not quit, that you will not fall in the days when your heart feels weary, but that you will run the promise that he has for you. I speak it over your life. I see you finishing strong. I see you in the promises of God for your life. Amen. Amen.